So today we're going to be talking a little bit about the 2018 wildfire season, just kind of what we saw in South Dakota as it compared to the forecasted conditions as we saw it last year about this time. I'll look a little bit at wildfire climatology across the state because that really dictates when, where, and why we see our wildfires. Then I'll look at current climate conditions, some forecasted conditions for the next 2 to 4 months, and then we'll kind of wrap up with the overall wildfire potential. So as some of you have probably seen, there's been a little bit of wildfire activity across the Black Hills currently. This map that I have up on the screen right now is what we call the Vegetation Drought Response Index, or VegDry. The kind of yellowish colors that you're seeing just represent drier vegetation. And of course, this time of the year, we expect to see dry vegetation because we're just at the beginning stages of green up when the new herbaceous growth and grass growth starts to come up through that dead grass layer that's already out there. So there is a lot of signals for dry grass, and I think that's pretty obvious. If we just look on the south side of campus on the hill, we can definitely see that the grass is still brown out there. Brown grass on a dry day is very receptive to wildfires. And so we've had the High Plains Fire, which was just south of Jewel Cave. That was a lightning ignited fire, over 140 acres, if memory serves me correct. We had the Lone Tree Fire, just north of Maverick Junction, that was around 40 acres. And a couple of smaller fires, the Coyote Fire up by Rockerville, which is 2.5 acres, one on Dinosaur Hill, what, 2 days ago, I think it was a quarter acre or something like that. So conditions are susceptible, but they kind of always are in terms of the time of the year, just because the grass is dry and it's very receptive to fire. But this year, we definitely haven't seen the situation like we saw in, say, 2012, when our March-April fire season was pretty dramatic. So looking at our 2018 recap, this was my kind of final slide, the center white boxed-in area for my forecast last year. I was really looking at average to below average conditions. We weren't seeing any trends towards really hot conditions. It was trending maybe towards a little bit warmer than average in terms of the summer months. There was really no precipitation signal in the forecast. And we kind of had a wet spring last year, and so going into the fire season, we were expecting kind of a slow fire season overall. However, the Rocky Mountain region, South Dakota is part of the Rocky Mountain region in terms of wildfire suppression. The Rocky Mountain region was very active, and most of that activity was down in Colorado, where they had a very, very busy summer fire season. South Dakota, the top four wildfires last year are listed in order. The Vineyard Fire, that was down in Fall River County at 560 acres. That was our biggest fire in the state of South Dakota last year. We only burned just under 5,000 acres last year statewide. This contrasts with almost 80,000 acres in 2017, almost 100,000 acres in 2016, and almost 70,000 acres in 2015. So last year was slow by all accounts. I think within the Black Hills National Forest, forest boundaries, I think they only had 110 acres burned, which is extraordinarily small. They average several thousand acres per year if you look at a 10 or a 20 year average. We had the Abier Fire at Dewey County, the Bear Butte Fire, which was actually a January fire, just over 500 acres up the kind of toe of Bear Butte up in Meade County. And interestingly enough, if we think back to early 2018, remember, fall of 2017 was very dry, and the fall December of 2017 is when we had the 54,000-acre Legion Lake wildfire, and so that kind of burned off the heels of that. And then the Canning County Assist Fire in Hughes County burned 365 acres. So it was a pretty slow wildfire year across the state by really all metrics. If we look at the seasonality of wildfires statewide, this is for all of western South Dakota. The bottom line you see down here is months, so January through December, and then this is the average number of acres burned per year in each of these areas. The dark black line is the Black Hills, the dotted line is northwestern South Dakota, and the thicker dashed line is southwestern South Dakota. And this just looks at per month average acres burned throughout the year. So we do have this kind of March, April, spring, what we call a shoulder fire season, where conditions are like we see them right now. The grasses are really dry, they're able to burn, there's no snow cover, and that sort of thing. But our primary fire season across western South Dakota is definitely the warm season, encompassing really the last week in June, going all the way through kind of the first 2 weeks in September. And so that is our primary wildfire season in South Dakota. And so within the boxed area on the graph, you'll see the climatic conditions or the weather conditions that lead to enhanced fire potential in those months across western South Dakota. And so we're really looking at 2+ months of precipitation deficits. These are short-term precipitation deficits. So if we come out of spring, looking dry and the start of summer continues to be dry, that bumps up our overall potential to have large wildfires across western South Dakota. We really need to see above average temperatures during that period. If we start to get into May and June and temperatures are really warmer than average, it starts to dry out the fuels, it stunts the green up a little bit, we start to see more potential for wildfire. And then of course there's long-term precipitation deficits that go into these months as well in drought. Drought is one of the big things that we look at across western South Dakota to indicate whether or not we're going to see fire potential during these prime fire months. So as I go through this presentation, at least for western South Dakota, keep those things in mind. Central South Dakota is a little bit different. Same graph, average acres burned per month, and then we have the months January through December down here. The dark line is for central South Dakota, the dotted line is for north central South Dakota, and the thicker dashed line is south central South Dakota. And you can see that the climatology of wildfire shifts a little bit. It's still warm season, it's still summer months, but we also get this peak in September and October. A lot of prairie fires across those areas. And again, in the box talks about the climatic conditions that lead to big wildfire growths during those peak months that we see wildfires occur. And really, drought's not that big of an issue across central South Dakota in those months. It's really short-term precipitation deficits on the order from 10 to 30 days. And then again, 10 to 30 days of above average temperatures. Going into the eastern side of the state, you see the shift completely. The eastern side of the state, they don't burn many acres on average, but most of those acres burn in the months of March and April. They really don't have a summer and fall fire season per se. Their fire season is really geared towards the spring months, which is surprising until you start to think about the different agricultural activities that we see in eastern South Dakota. And really, above average temperatures during March and April is really when they see a large fire occurrence. And that really has to go in with snowpack. If you see above average temperatures, you don't have the snowpack, it allows the fuels to be receptive to fire in those areas. So I'm not going to talk about eastern South Dakota because they really don't have a summer fire season per se. If you look at just pure summer fire season drivers, not necessarily adjusted towards, say, you know, I said that in eastern South Dakota they have a spring fire season. If we want fires to burn in the summer in central or in eastern South Dakota, they need drought conditions. They need bad drought conditions, moderate to severe to extreme drought conditions to get any fire activity whatsoever. But again, if we look at western South Dakota and central South Dakota, in the months of June and July, it's drought, it's above average temperatures, and it's short-term precipitation deficits. If we go out towards August, drought is not that big of an issue in August. We can get big fires without drought, but again, we need short-term precipitation deficits and above average temperatures. So kind of where are we at? Where are we at right now? Over the past year, this is past 12 months, departure from normal precipitation across the United States. The warm colors are below average precipitation. The cool colors are above average precipitation. The eastern United States has been really wet. Appalachia has been extraordinarily wet. The western United States, especially the Pacific Northwest, has been extraordinarily dry over the past 12 months. In South Dakota, we're hovering on either side of average, kind of in these yellow colors. Southeastern South Dakota has been wet, and that's again contributed to a lot of the flooding that we've seen in those areas. If we narrow that timeline and zoom in, we can see that here's North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, Wyoming, Colorado. Again, the warm colors are below average precipitation. This is year to date. And the cool colors are above average precipitation. If we look at just Pennington County, we are right at or just above average precip year to date. We're doing good. It's been somewhat of a wet spring for us. The Black Hills have received pretty good moisture. And if we look at statewide, you know, a lot of this, we're seeing above average precip. But again, in southeastern South Dakota, especially from the one kind of bad blizzard that they had that really led to a lot of the flooding, they got 2 to 4 inches of rain, which is way above average for that area, and it's led to a lot of precipitation. If we look at departure from normal temperatures, because again, temperatures this time of the year going forward are going to impact what we see in our summer wildfire season. Colder than average temperatures. This is really attributed to the last week in June, or the last week in January, going all the way through February and the first week in March, when we saw those bitterly cold temperatures, exceptional cold, one of the coldest Februaries on record, if not the coldest February on record in Rapid City. Cool colors are below average temperatures across that region. Again, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, there's Pennington County, we're right about there. And average to maybe above average temperatures across the southern Great Plains. Looking over the past 30 days, Now, this is more geared towards what we're seeing for fire activity currently. And again, this is departure from average precipitation over a long period of time over the past 30 days. It's been spotty, but maybe slightly drier than average across the central and southern Black Hills. And that's likely led to kind of the what we have been seeing in terms of fire activity across the central and southern Black Hills. If they would have been wetter than average, kind of like these areas have been, I doubt we would have seen the fires that they have seen there. And frankly, 140-acre fire last week at south of Jewel Cave, that's a pretty good-sized fire in the Black Hills Forest Fire Protection District. Temperatures, we've been hovering around average across the state. Some areas have been cooler than average, some areas have been warmer than average, but really no overall signal that we've been seeing there. I want to talk a little bit about soil moisture now. So soil moisture is related to fire activity in a couple of different ways. This time of the year, when we have very, very moist soils, it really it hurts fire suppression efforts. Because if the soils are really moist, but the grass on top of the soils is still really dry because it's the dead grass from last year, it makes it really hard to suppress those fires, because if you try to drive a fire engine across soaked soils, you will bury said fire engine. And we see that often enough. And so that's kind of the situation we're in right now. All of these are signifying much above average soil moisture conditions. And the colors on this chart are a little bit screwy due to the projector, but this is 120 millimeters above our average soil moisture, and then we're looking at 20 to 40 millimeters above average in terms of soil moisture across western South Dakota. So definitely wetter than average. Going forward, this will aid in green up this spring. This is actually too much moisture in southeastern South Dakota. We can ask a couple of our local farmers about what that's going to be doing to planting, but that's going to have its own agricultural impacts beyond what we're going to see in terms of wildland fire. Snowpack. Across the western United States, snowpack is one of the most well-correlated meteorological phenomena, if you will, to wildland fires. If you have above-average snowpack in the mountains, you typically have below-average fire potential during the summer months. On the top left, I have the average mountain snowpack as of April 1st from last year. The cool colors signify well above average snowpack or snow conditions, while the warm colors signify well below average snowpack or snow conditions. And you can see that the Northern Rockies had great snowpack, the Bighorns had good snowpack, the Black Hills had right around average. But if we go down to our south in Utah and Colorado, where we did see all the fire activity last year, they were definitely below average in terms of their snowpack. The Colorado River watershed, if you will, or snowshed, was very, very dry last year. Contrast that with this year. The Bighorns, they had great snowpack, but kind of the past 2 weeks have diminished that snowpack. But again, in Colorado, much better conditions than last year. Colorado's actually had some record snowpack this year. In the Black Hills, they're actually open circles, just means that there's really no snowpack left, but that's pretty climatologically normal. So that's right around our average conditions. So in terms of what we're seeing across kind of Wyoming and Colorado with snowpack, you know, we're seeing average to maybe above average snowpack conditions. It's lending itself to be a slower than average wildfire season across the Rocky Mountains. Now that impacts fire suppression in South Dakota because we share our resources with other states and other geographic regions. If South Dakota doesn't have much fire activity, like we didn't last year, we send our resources out of state, and so they can deal with issues elsewhere. And so I foresee that maybe becoming more prevalent again this summer as we go through our fire season. Drought, again, drought's related to summer wildfire occurrence across western South Dakota. The top left chart is where we were sitting last year at this time in terms of drought. We had some remnant drought conditions across northwestern South Dakota and western North Dakota, but major drought impacts across the Four Corners region stretching into the southern Great Plains. And again, we can just go back to the fire season that Colorado saw. Really, areas south of I-70 in Colorado really saw those bad wildfire conditions, and a lot of that was drought driven. If we go forward to this year, I'm just focusing in on South Dakota. A lot of this drought's been mitigated. They had great precipitation, but looking at South Dakota, we have absolutely no drought, no abnormally dry conditions statewide. So this is boding very well for us in terms of having a slow wildfire season. So our fire suppression people are probably not going to make a lot of money, but that's all right too. Let's look at conditions going forward. These are images from the Climate Prediction Center. Looking at what we are going to expect to see in terms of temperature and precipitation going forward in May, June, and July. The temperature, or the graph on the left, his temperature probabilities, and these colors represent high confidence in above average temperatures. And not only does it extend from the southwestern United States up through the New England states, but also Alaska. And the graph on the right represents precipitation conditions. This is outlining high confidence and below average precipitation for the Pacific Northwest, kind of the Northern Great Basin region, and then above high confidence and above average precipitation conditions across the eastern portion of the United States. That EC for both of these really represents equal chances of above, below, or normal conditions for both temperature and precipitation across South Dakota. So there's no confidence in seeing temperature precipitation trends one way or the other. It's not necessarily saying that we're going to see an average period from May to July. Our drought outlook, what we're expecting to see, really the Southwest, they're expecting some improvement in the drought conditions, but of course they're not expecting anything in terms of the formation of drought conditions across the Northern Great Plains and Eastern Rocky Mountains, kind of the area that we're in. So these are good things. We're expecting kind of, you know, normal to wetter than average conditions through those months. If we extend out a little bit farther, July, August, September, going into our primary wildfire season in western South Dakota, temperature graph on the left doesn't show any trends for us one way or the other. The precip graph on the right does, however, show us in this high confidence and above average precip across much of the breadbasket of the United States going into the Northern Rockies. And so we're trending towards a little bit wetter than average conditions, which is the exact opposite that we would see on a high fire potential year. And I do talk about fire potential. We can have all the potential in the world, but we might not have any ignitions, so we might not see any fires. So we're always talking in terms of fire potential. So again, going back to this slide, and I'm going to summarize everything and kind of wrap this up. I showed you this. For western South Dakota, central South Dakota, and eastern South Dakota, the climatic conditions that favor large fire growth, we're not seeing any of those, right? And so this is really telling us that we're probably not going to have an active wildfire season across the state. But I do have to predicate that with saying that short-term weather conditions do matter. Short-term precipitation deficits from 1 to 2 weeks combined with hot temperatures can dry out our fuels immensely in the short term, but we're not seeing any of the longer-term climatic conditions. I always like to talk about climate change because it's happening, and so I just want to show you this. This is a graph for the Black Hills annual average temperature from 1895 to present, looking at the annual average temperature, and you can see there's a nice upward trend. Our trend is to be getting warmer years across the Black Hills. And this goes winter, this goes summer, the trend increases throughout the seasons. And so looking down the road, combining that information, or the information that we have with a chart like this that says, hey, we're going to be warmer down the road, combine that with our historical fire information that says fires occur under warmer conditions, probably leads us to the belief that we're likely going to see more and higher fire potential in the years coming just due to climate change and warming temperatures. I'm gonna skip that. So to summarize, I'm really thinking below average fire potential across all of South Dakota this year and probably extending into Wyoming and even portions of the Colorado Rocky Mountains. We're not seeing any temperature trends out there. Nothing's leaning one way or the other in terms of warmer than average or colder than average conditions, but we are leaning towards wetter than average conditions throughout the month. And really all the long range models and the ensembles that we're looking at, pretty much all of them are leaning towards wetter than average conditions across this area. And that's not something that's uncommon El Nino conditions. The Pacific Ocean's in an El Nino pattern right now. We're kind of coming out of it, but it tends to bring us wetter than average conditions. But again, remember that climate drivers can change throughout the year, and those are going to be reflected in the monthly outlooks that I continually produce. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions. Again, all this information is going to be available on my Twitter feed at some point in the next couple of days. And if you're interested in getting on my listserv in terms of having these products disseminated out, I do send out these seasonal outlooks, I send out monthly outlooks, and I also send out weekly weather discussions during the fire seasons as well. So I'd be happy to take any questions if you have any. So thanks. Yeah, Matt.
Yeah, so what are the 1,000-hour fuels like now and the energy release component? Is it too early to look at that and to gain some insight from that?
It's, first off, I don't know because I haven't looked. Secondly, the 1,000-hour fuels are just kind of coming out of being frozen, and so it might be a little bit too early to look at that. But I'll get back to you. I'll let you know. I can look up those data as soon as I get back to my office. And I'll make a note to include that next year. Anything else?
That that big 140-acre fire that was in Southern Gulf, the primary carrier of that fire was probably carried over grass or low grass?
That's my guess. I wasn't down there. Logan, Chris, do you guys know what the primary fuel was down there? Because it was just on the outskirts of the southern edge of the Jasper fire scar. And so I'm sure it was just carryover grass. Maybe some needle cast on the eastern side when they were getting into the kind of the ponderosa that's left down there. But yeah, grass would be my guess. Any other questions? All right, great. Well, thanks for coming. I appreciate y'all being here.